stand together and pledge allegiance. God, we ask for your guidance and direction as we gather together. Grant us the strength to manage the challenges ahead of us and the wisdom to identify these as opportunities to serve the residents of Curie Beach. As we make these decisions on the town's behalf, help us have an open mind, a willingness to learn, and the humility to consider the ideas of others. And with that, let's please remember the folks that lost their lives in the fire at Curie Beach, and Ms. Baxter, who lost hers last night in Curie Beach. Mm-hmm. And our humble appreciation for our fire department and our police department. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now, approval of the consent items. So,
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Do you have something?
Do we excuse David now? Or?
Oh, we're going to have to excuse me just a minute. We're going to have to excuse David from tonight's meeting. He has got some problems at the hospital. And we will carry on with Beach Walk and Curie Dunes, so just bear with us.
Do we need to make a motion for that?
Yeah.
Okay, I withdraw my motion and make a motion we excuse David Heckler for the meeting.
I have a motion, a second. Mm-hmm. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
And I make a motion we approve the consent agenda as written.
Do I have a second? I have a motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Now we'll adopt the agenda.
I make a motion. We approve the agenda for tonight.
Do I have a second? I have a motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, building inspections report. And he's not here. Fire chief's report.
Discussion. We've got to do podium and then board of adjustment. We're back up there.
What? That's not on mine.
Under discussion. Discussion to consideration.
Oh,
address council.
Sorry. Discussion to consideration. Person to address council. And we have two folks who signed up. We're going to have Alonzo. There you go, that's his name. And Gilbert Alphen. Alonzo, if you'll step up,
sure.
We'll hear yours first.
First, let me thank you for giving me this opportunity. I work for the North Carolina Department of Agriculture. I'm the state entomologist. Basically, we deal with regulatory issues related to invasive species. The reason I'm here is because I want to, number one, inform the city council about this new project that we're going to start in February. This is it's an entomological project. We're going to do surveys in the North Carolina quarantine area for the sweet potato weevil. For those of you that have not seen the sweet potato weevil, it's this. This is not a real size. This is a minimum.
See him, he should windshield, you know.
And by the way, if you guys don't understand my accent because I know that I have an accent, please let me know because I'm from a very, very deep south.
There you go.
So the project is very straightforward. It's a multi-phase project. For the first 2 years, what we want to do is set up a large number of traps to survey for this little guy here. And this area, Curie Beach, Carolina Beach, the areas around Brunswick County, Caswell Beach, are officially the quarantine areas for sweet potato weevil. And sweet potato weevil is the number one enemy of sweet potatoes. You probably know how important sweet potato production is in North Carolina. North Carolina ranks number one in the nation. So it's a pretty big industry. And this project is a huge impact project. If we can prove, which has been already proved in other places, that we can eradicate the weevil from these areas, we can, this will be the start of like a multi-state program to eradicate the weevil in the southeastern region. And the economic implications of that for the state and for the regions are huge. So it's an incredibly important project. And one of the reasons I'm here, like I said, is to inform you about this, and that's why I included this brief explanation in my proposal. And I also included a map of the area, which is basically where we're going to set traps. So each point in this area represents a potential trap site. Of course, not every point will have a trap. There are some places along the beach, for example, that definitely are going to be exempt. There are places, you know, trap sites that we fall on top of houses, we're not going to set up trap there. But one of the reasons that I'm here too is because I need the help from the city. Number one, we need to know what do we need to comply with the laws and regulations for the city. We don't want to set up traps and then eventually people find out that it's bothering them. Or utility companies or phone companies don't want to have that interfere with what we have. So we need to make sure that we raise awareness with all the different sectors in the community, recreations and park services, division of any sector, firefighters, schools, pretty much anybody involved, the communities, homeowners associations, because most of these traps are going to be set in very high density, highly populated areas. So it's a concern for us. And we need to keep these traps as much as we can for a period of 2 years. The idea is that in these 2 years, we can map with very high accuracy where these weevils are, and then we can proceed to do some target control using what we call sterile insect techniques. So the map is here, and this is basically the proposed trap sites. And as you can see, Curry Beach has a lot of traps in it, so it's a very important component. I also included an example of the kind of outreach material we're going to use, and this is a door hanger that we're designing. This is the front and this is the back, and the idea is that when you see this, you can directly associate this picture with the trap that you will see outside. So by the time you see a trap and you see this door hanger, you can easily associate the two. This is the type of trap we're going to use. It's not a big trap. It looks pretty bulky here, but it's about this big, not too big. And it's mounted on a pole, one of these concrete poles, about a foot and a half high from the ground. And there will be a permanent employee, well, temporary employee working on a 40 hours a week basis, checking these traps every 2 weeks. And the data he will be collecting will be used for, you know, the control program, the eradication program, in 2 years. In addition to that, I have included a page with important contact information, and here is my contact information too, but also information for our director, Mr. Vernon Cox, and the Plan PES Administrator for NCDA. So I hope that by expressing here my interest and our concern to you, we can establish this collaboration and try to, you know, come up with some kind of collaborative arrangement so we can meet more people, more from different sectors of the community and raise awareness on this. Our main objective is to have people understand why we have these traps. The traps will be baited with a lure. It's a pheromone. It's a tiny little piece of rubber that is impregnated with a pheromone. But it would also have a tiny piece of rubber that has contact insecticide. So it's very, very important for us that people don't disturb the trap. And that's here in the message right here. It's an insect trap, please do not disturb. And, you know, with these and brochures and public meetings, we hope that we can raise awareness. Not just about the importance of the project, but about keeping the traps where they are. So I'm asking you to help us. in terms of organizing more meetings and, you know, sharing this information with the community.
Okay.
So that's what I'm here for.
Does the pheromones, or what, did they attract any other type bugs?
No, it's very specific to the weevil.
Okay.
There might be some other insects getting in the trap, but it's probably an accidental situation. They just fly and they fall in the trap.
Okay.
Because it's basically like a little funnel. But the pheromone only attracts the weevil.
And when are you going to start this project?
We expect to start on February 1st, setting traps. We expect to set, we have a number here, 665 in Lupin number count, 64. But honestly, I think 400 traps will give a more realistic number.
So you said about 400 traps along Carolina Beach and Curie Beach?
Yeah, it's 400 traps in this area that I showed you on the map.
Yeah.
That's a lot of traps.
Do you have approval from the federal, from MATSU?
We are working on that. We have good relationship with the people in Sunny Point because we do a lot of surveys for gypsum, for example.
Okay.
And we set up traps in those areas. So I'm in the process of contacting them and getting permission from them so we can access this area. My main concern is in primary places, high touristic places, people, pretty much all kinds of people getting there, and I don't want them to see the traps and start playing around with them. So we need to improve that outreach.
Have you gotten in touch with the state for the area down here?
The state.
Yes.
Okay.
So the way it's organized from the NCDA point of view, there is what we call a plant pest specialist, and he's in charge of Newman-Over County, Brunswick County, and Penner County. That area is what he covers. And then there is also a regional supervisor, Ms. Ann Gallagher. And you will probably hear from them more as we get more and more involved with the project. So she's the one that supervises all the specialists in the eastern region, which is almost half of the state.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. One other question for you.
Yes, sir.
If you have trouble getting your traps onto federal land for a variety of reasons, not because you're not supportive, just because if they would not allow it, are you going to try to put all of the traps then within our area? Or, I mean, do you have to have a minimum number of traps? I'm just getting worried. I really wouldn't want to turn around and see them in everybody's...
Right.
Right? So, I mean, that's my only point.
Yeah.
I'm trying to understand that.
Absolutely. Quite honestly, I don't think we're going to have any problems. We have been conducting surveys with the sweet potato weevil in this area, even in federal lands, for like 25 years.
Oh.
The only reason is that these surveys have been very small and very targeted, but still in some of the federal areas. Unlike that, this survey is very extensive. And, you know, we have more traps. The area is bigger. It still includes the federal lands, but we have to explain to them, you know, that it's going to be a much larger area mm-hmm. than what we have been doing before. I think simply because of the fact that it's such an important project and the fact that the economic impact can be huge, not just for North Carolina, but for all the states producing sweet potatoes in the U.S., it might be a really good selling point. And this is not something that we are, you know, this is not like this rediscovering the wheel. They just proved that this can be done in Japan, in an area that is very comparable to the area here in Okanagan County. And so we're very optimistic that this is something that will work, and it will set the path for this bigger program in the region.
Have you got some information that you can leave our clerk if people start calling?
Yeah, you guys have some too.
Right.
Yeah. No, I mean, you got a lot of information you don't even know.
Right, correct. So there are several things about that. And, you know, I will include that in the door hanger. You can access, and I'm working on that. We will set up a web page.
Can we have one of those traps for here in Town Hall?
Yes, I brought one.
Okay.
The wrong color. But I brought one. I will take it out from my car.
Okay.
But we will have information about, you know, access and links to the web page, and also phone numbers to call the division in case people have concerns. And so We set up all the communication strategy in such a way that it would be easy for people to call and get information. So we're working on that at NCDA. And hopefully, the idea is that by February 1st, the community that will be involved in this project are informed. The most important sectors of the community. We will have the communication systems in place. We will have all the material for outreach, including brochures, door hangers. We're working on a press release. It will come out at the end of January in this area. This is done through a public affairs office in Raleigh. And also we're going to work on a newspaper article in the region. This is in the first few months of the project, and eventually as the project evolves, then we're going to incorporate more components. We strongly believe that the technical aspect of this project without good outreach is not going to work. We need the public to help us in terms of taking care of the traps, not messing up with the traps. If they have, you know, very curious observations, you know, to call us, that helps a lot. So this is what we are intending to do. This is our mission right now. So hopefully by February 1st, when we're ready to start the trust, we can have, you know, all this information disseminated.
Have you touched base with Carolina Beach?
Yes, I contacted the people in Carolina Beach, and we're meeting in January.
Okay.
Yes. I also contacted the people in the state park, the North Carolina State Park here, mm-hmm. on the western part, and the people in Caswell Beach, along Brunswick County. So, it's a work in progress.
Good. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Dr. Alonzo
Suazo.
Suazo, okay. I'm going to ask Nancy Hewitt to stay in touch with you later in January.
Okay.
So that we have emails that go out weekly and a website and all, and maybe we include it in a couple of our emails.
They're going to have a press release.
I think that would be good. And also, we have a little newspaper here on the Island Gazette.
Fantastic.
With Willard. Mm-hmm. And just stay in touch with him, because a lot of people on the island will read about
it. Absolutely.
There.
And I think this is very important, the fact that there's a lot of transitory people coming here. So mm-hmm. that's why I believe it's very, very important to do a very strong outreach. So one of the things that I have in mind is to get your contact information from all the cities involved and send you updates what we're doing, what we're planning to do in case, you know, we have to do something different, or if there's a hurricane, the traps are blown out, you know, we want to notify you that we're going to send, you know, the trappers to take care of that, and we're going to assess the situation, whatever the situation is. So I like to keep a line of communication open with all the communities, and this can be done in several ways. I also want to, I'm studying the possibility of opening a Facebook page also, so that people can have access to, you know, what's going on, basically.
That's a good idea. And Nancy Hewitt is a good one to tell you how to stay in touch with all five of us.
Fantastic. I really appreciate that. And like I said, my contact information is in the booklet. My business card is there, too. And you can also get in touch with Anne Gallagher. She's extremely active, and she's very enthusiastic about this project. So if you have any questions, please feel free to contact us.
Well, thank you for doing this.
Thank
I
you
know
so
we don't grow sweet potatoes here in Curie Beach, but I do know we're the largest, if not close to being the largest state in the country for sweet potatoes. So it's very important statewide for our economy.
Absolutely.
So thank you.
Imagine if we eradicate the sweet potato. I'm not saying if we are going to. When we eradicate the sweet potato willow from Newmanover County and Brunswick County, that will open the doors to people that want to grow sweet potatoes in this area.
Thank you.
Dr. Swazel, how big is this concrete pole?
It's not a concrete. It's
a
concrete pole. You know, like the electrical wires where you put
conduit.
Electrical wires?
Conduit pole.
Yes. See my accent, I told you.
I understand. But these are going to go on private property.
Yeah, so it's about this big. You know, we usually set the traps in places that are not so obvious, so that, you know, people don't see them too much. But if they do, you know, they will have signs and they will have labels everything on the traps. Yeah.
You can put on a mic.
Go ahead. What kind of weed is that?
Ooh. Oh, this is a...
Stinkweed.
No,
it looks like the thing you just showed. Don't worry about it. It's not a sweet potato.
No.
Okay.
It's a plant. She's got a plant.
So it's not a sweet potato, though.
No.
Okay.
Thanks.
Right. Thank you so much, and I will keep in touch with all of you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
If you can help me, you get information about communities, HOAs, parking services, I will completely happy with that.
Thanks. We'll get that to you, and then we'll let you introduce yourselves to our public works, too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Can we get the truck for you?
Yes, please. Okay. Please bring it in. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
You're with you.
Yes. I'll be very brief. I'm closing out my year today, and I was just looking at my cost to run Blue Marlin Parks Vacation Lodging. And I sat back, and let's just take a round figure, $100,000 in expenses. Okay, I paid for that $100,000 for tourists. And as we all know, we're subject to a room occupancy tax along with a sales tax that comes up 13%. Based on $100,000, I have to collect $100,013. You understand? I'm not sure how to say that.
$13,000.
Mm-hmm. I don't expect room occupancy to pay all that. That's not. We'll let you know that for right now. A lot of our problems that I'm seeing is, for one, 90% of my revenue comes through a credit card. And that is tacked on a fee, somewhere around 2.1%. And with the competition and a lot of our older generation passing on, we have to go prospecting. Mm-hmm. And we have to go through devices like TripAdvisor, online services. And every time we get a prospect coming through that way, there's another 3 to 5%, depending on what your contract is and what your volume is. A lot of that extra percentage, we have to charge that 13% tax. Our customers have a maximum budget that they spend. So in order for us to meet the feasibility of that person being able to make their budget, we have to lower our cost to compensate all these other percentages so they can get their purchasing power. I would like for council and my competitors or neighbors, however you want to call them, if we have some type of workshop to talk about this, let it be a scheduled time, not something special out of the way. You know, I need to notify my neighbors. I came up with this urge again when I was doing my annual expenses today. And that's all I'm going to ask for council tonight, if we can review it with council and our fellow people in the lodging industry.
Thanks, Gilbert.
Sit down.
Thank you. That's all the folks who signed up. Board of Adjustment.
Wait a minute, he has the trap.
Yeah, well, he's going to sit down. What is that?
Oh, I thought he was going to show it to us so everybody could see it.
Board of Adjustment.
Thank you.
Community Center. Marketing Committee. Here you go.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening. Robin Link will be chair of the Marketing Advisory Committee, and I'm here to present to council the recommended rollover budget. You have a presentation, or should have had a presentation. We'll run through the summary for your the grand total rollover budget. As presented, was 41.5 $1,000. And the recommendations include $6,000 to Madden Media for a content campaign online, $10,000 for HomeAway online display campaign, advertising online, the Weather Channel online display campaign for $10,000, our state Carolina Travel e-newsletter sponsorship, which is an e-newsletter blast for $700, a YouTube video campaign for $5,000, and Southern Living ad for $8,600, which is a complement to the current NC Coast Host co-op campaign, which runs in March, with the addition of a standalone half page in April, for a total of $40,300. These are all of these are new channels, with the exception of the Southern Living advertising, and they're all focused in the shoulder season. Are there any questions?
The question, $41,000, is that within the that reduced budget that we had talked about earlier this year?
No, it is not. My understanding of the rollover process and the rollover budget is that the county does an ROT forecast each year, and that they do with a conservative increase, and that's how they set the budget. Okay. And then any funds that exceed this, plus any savings that were in from previous marketing funds, that's the rollover, and that's where this comes from.
Got it.
And you would like for us to...
And I would ask them for your approval of this
budget for rollover.
Yes.
I make a motion that we approve the budget for our rollover amount. Now, do you want the 40.3 or the 41.1?
I think we should
do the
41.1.
Okay. Then I make a motion that we approve the rollover budget for $41,100.
Do I have a second?
I second that.
Just a second.
Thank you very much.
Wait a minute.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
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 Opposed? No.
No.
Now, does David have an automatic yes?
Because no, he was excused. He wasn't excused.
He wasn't excused.
He was excused.
Right.
We excused him.
If he wasn't.
Oh, okay.
Okay. let me ask you one thing, Emily. How did Carolina Beach do this?
I don't have those numbers. I'm not involved in their committee at all. So.
It would be surprising to me if they went along with you, but anyway.
Anne has a question.
Yes, Anne.
I'm a little perplexed. Yeah, people, because you, as the council and mayor, have asked us, Rob and myself, and several other members, to be on the marketing committee. So you asked us to work our butts off to figure out what to do with this money that's not the town's money to spend, but it's part of the room occupancy tax. So we're giving you a proposal of what to do with that money so we can continue bringing vacationers here. Now, the question, I guess, is coming up, does the council really want vacationers, or do you not want vacationers?
How much is your regular budget? That's the question.
The total is, the current base media budget is $50,500.
Okay. Then you want this $40,000 on top of $50,000.
Well, didn't we cut their budget?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a bonus for them to me. And when I just listened to this businessman here, I thought it would be, you know.
Businesswoman?
You know, find some way to help the people out.
Businesswoman?
Well, I'm talking about Gilmore. I'm talking about Gilmore. Sorry.
Calm down, Ed. Calm down.
And what did we spend?
Wait a minute. Let him finish.
So, I mean, that's why I voted, you know, to help him out. I mean, they're already asking us for some help, and we found some extra money. It's not going to come from us now this year, right? Last year's budget.
Right, and it's not part of what we held back.
Right.
And our businesses, such as Gilbert and such as Ann.
Right, I'm sorry.
And the rest of our rental people and businesses here on the island, unless we're going to decide that we're going to do away with tourists, we need to help our business community.
Because where does the rollover money go if we don't let them use it?
Into the bank.
Okay.
So, from my perspective,
for certain things.
I think it
can only be used for tourist-related activities.
Right.
It can only be used for marketing, as far as I know.
Year to year. Last year, I think we had 19,000 left over. Was
the rollover?
You may not know.
I'm sorry, I don't know.
Okay.
But I can certainly find out for you.
Well, last year, I believe we had about 19,000 left over. And this year's budget from the ROT for advertising, do you recall what that was? Because we reduced it 10% due to the expenditures that we had on the Oceanfront Park, the money we were spending for the concerts to bring people to town, and all the other activities, the money that we were giving to the Chamber of Commerce for the things that they had going on down there. And the intent is, what is really happening year to year? And how much money are we spending relative to advertising, and what is the true impact? So, and I know we can only spend this money for certain things. Do you know what we spent last year?
I do not have those numbers with me, as I was just going to talk about rollover, and I apologize.
And okay. I have those numbers. I can give them to you. But we had a greater increase this year than we have had in several years. And I can say you, from looking at it, you can contribute that mostly to the increase in the social media and the work that our marketing people have done. Now, either you want to continue to have a good increase for Cary Beach, or you don't. That it's yes or no. It's black and white.
We wanted to cut the money, the budget, for at least a year to see how it plays out with our tourist dollars and see, you know, if we increase. So
that's why it's kind of important for us to know what did we spend last year, what are we spending year to year, and what is $40,000 rollover due to that. If we can get a picture of all that, how that cash is flowing, then I think we can get a better idea to be good stewards of this money, which is really spent for the shoulder seasons.
So if I'm understanding, what you want to know is how much total was spent last year?
Yes.
Right.
And versus this 91,000 that would be spent this year.
I would say, what was last year's budget? And what was last year's rollover? And then what it was this year's budget plus the rollover.
And then could you specifically tell us how you're going to spend it before?
She just told
me. Before and after.
Put that in minutes.
Before and after the season, the shoulder seasons.
Okay,
how you will spend this money in the shoulder season.
Okay, and those, all of that is in the presentation that you
right.
received.
You're going to present it again, I assume.
Okay.
So have it all ready to go.
Okay, we can get that. When do you want us to get it for you, and what's happening with the vote?
I think you'll have to go ahead and move to reconsider it next month, and you'll have David here, too.
Yeah, David here to vote.
Okay, and just to make sure, Robin, we have everything we need of what you... And perfect sense. And I know it's in all our minutes, and again, I just didn't think to bring any of that myself, because it's in the minutes, but you shouldn't have to look it up. We'll get that information.
Yes.
So you can see last year, and we'll even go the year before. Look at that, so then you have a picture of how to spend that money. The rollover money, what's going to happen, and again, you know that some of that money, too, is going towards the park. is going towards the advertisements for the park, for the activities, for everything that's happening
and
every month.
None of the money goes to the Oceanfront Park.
No, it doesn't go to the Oceanfront Park, but if you look at all the advertising they're doing, social media, cutting back on print media, it is almost the Oceanfront Park and Curie Village, Curie Beach, our Christmas show, our New Year's Eve celebration that's coming up over and over and over again for us, and bringing that Oceanfront Park to people all over the state and in other areas of the country.
And I do understand what you're saying, Dean. It is a little bit of a trickle-down effect. The people that went from me or Gilbert or any of the other people here, that 13%, that goes back into the ROTC. So you might not see it like this finger, it might be a little hidden, but it's all there.
That's why we want to.
So I think that's great, Robin, if you guys need to take something to say, let's table this until next month, Robin, we can get them all the facts they need, make it very concise, short, sweet, to the point. This is what you said, this is what we're recommending, this is why, this year, this year, this year.
Now, and I also know that you're a smart business person.
Oh, we try.
Right?
I can't guarantee you.
So if you would take a look at the budget as it's spent today,
yeah,
it's across 50 items.
Yeah.
Were there items that they took out,
yes,
and items that they added?
Yes.
You know, things,
yes,
like that.
Yes.
So
yes,
I'd like to get a, yes, sense that there's, sure, a management process behind the use of the smart.
Yes, almost definitely. And
okay,
that's great. It might be a little bit longer than a 5-minute presentation. So I'm wondering, you know, you guys have to just decide, do you want a special meeting? Do you want to come to one of our meetings and have that breakdown? However you want to do it. But we'll give it to you as concisely as you need so you can make an informed business decision. You run the business of Curie Beach, I run the business of Palm Air. And I also am the steward of the places that you send me to represent.
Okay.
I make
Thank
a motion
you.
That we table this until the January.
David's not going to be making it to next month's meeting either. He's got a meeting he's got to attend. So
who?
David won't be here.
Steve.
Could you do a proxy vote?
You're Steve.
Make a motion.
Steve won't be here next month.
No. David.
Steve.
During the retreat, then you guys can make a motion for it to be discussed during the retreat and voted on. Is that all right?
I would like Nancy Avery's opinion on that, because okay, that retreat may be so tied up that we can't do
well,
it.
We do have,
because see, I sit through their marketing meetings every month. And this is not a 5 or 10 minute presentation. And I invite all of you to come to those marketing meetings every month. And you can see all of this in detail, exactly what you're asking about. You're talking about at least a half an hour or more of a presentation with time for your questions and answers. So if we can't do it at the next meeting, I don't... Arlen, you tell me, are we going to have time at a budget meeting to take an extra half hour to 45 minutes?
Well, I think we're tentatively scheduled for 2 days.
2 half days. That's
right. Okay. Look, so maybe on the second day when we have leftover items?
Well, possibly. Yeah.
Second day.
Let's do it there, because I'm willing to give a half an hour to understand $100,000 for the town.
I don't have a problem.
Okay.
Is that all going to be written information, or are we going to have someone... The written information. Okay.
We're going to have someone from the TDA who usually presents this to the marketing committee come and do the same presentation with some additional information that I will be glad to work with her on.
That's okay. Specific to Curie Beach, I think.
Yes. Oh, yes. Definitely specific to Curie Beach.
And is your retreat...
What are the dates for the retreat?
January 26th and 27th.
Yeah, 26th and
27th
of January.
So this would probably be the 27th. But we'll say retreat, and whatever time Arlen and Nancy can put it in there and work with them.
Okay, so anybody want to make that motion? You want to go
with that motion?
Can you just elaborate again? Sorry.
Okay, I make a motion that we table the marketing request for approval of the budget for rollover until the January budget session retreat.
Yeah.
Okay. And to be determined by Arlen and Nancy as far as time.
Yes, time and everything is determined by Arlen and Nancy.
Steve seconded.
I seconded Nancy.
Thank you.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Where were you, Nancy? Yeah.
Okay. Parks and Recreation Advisory Board.
No, planning and zoning.
What?
Under committees.
Look at the agenda.
Parks is next
on number four.
Yeah, number four, planning is after
you,
parks.
Excuse me.
but that's not you.
No, it's a committee.
Yeah.
Okay.
Planning and Zoning Commission. Craig, come on up.
There you go. Craig Albright, the chairman of the P&Z Commission. Basically, we got two updates tonight. One is that we have voted, and now it's with our attorney for fine-tuning the short-term rental proposal, certificate proposal, and so I'm guessing that probably next meeting, council meeting, that you may have a proposal for us for a short-term rental certificate. The other is the parking issues along Route 421 to kind of remind the council several... probably close to about 5 months ago, there was some concern about, I believe, Ocean Dunes, parking in front of Ocean Dunes on 421. And you passed it to the P&Z to perhaps kind of look at this issue. We've done a lot of research, and I'm going to have Joe Whitney come up here since he took the lead on doing the research with the NC Department of Transportation and present his findings. And basically, what we want right now, I believe, is after the presentation of the findings about parking on 421, that you kind of decide what you want to do right now. If you want us to continue with this, if you want to form another committee, give it to another committee, let it die or whatever. So anyway, with that, I'm going to turn it over to Joe and let him talk about what we found with the Department of Transportation.
Joseph Whitley, Vice Chair of the Planning and Zoning Committee. I met with a representative from DOT and Tony. We kind of walked the area down there in front of Ocean Dunes. He took the information back, got me in touch with another gentleman, whose name I don't have it. But he said that the town can restrict parking however we perceive fit. We can prohibit it along all of 421. We can prohibit it in certain areas. We can prohibit it around the entrances to Ocean Dunes to keep line of sight for people pulling out. Whatever we want to do. That they will put up the signs however we instruct them. Pretty short and sweet. Questions?
The only request, to kind of add to that, the only request that they had is that that we provide them with any ordinance that's been passed so they know, actually have the ordinance within the files, but it seems like we can pretty much do whatever we want to do as long as we inform them.
Which way did you...
We were down there in front of Fort Fisher in Ocean Dunes.
Yeah, No.
I'm sorry.
Which way did you feel that we should go on it?
We haven't come up with any recommendations yet.
We did all the findings. Okay.
But, I think we were asking right now is what, I mean, we could continue to come up with some recommendations. Obviously, we don't normally do parking as a P&Z, so I don't know if you wanted to form a joint committee, give it back to P&Z, give it back to another committee, address it yourself. We came back at the beginning, we didn't realize that we could restrict parking, but it turns out that we have a lot of flexibility, not only in front of Ocean Dunes, but all up and down 421. Because there's other concerns, for example, if we restrict on 421 in front of Ocean Dunes, it may push it down into other areas. So, it is a kind of a broad issue that you want to consider. Mm-hmm.
Now, Slap looked at it with you.
Tony was there, yes, sir.
Did he go over all the...
Yeah, we stood there, looked at all the areas that they were addressing, the concerned people from Ocean Dunes. He had not been made aware of the findings. They were dealing with the state a couple weeks ago, the information back from the DOT.
Okay.
The only thing I say that you cannot block the area where people use the public access to prohibit people from going there. And that's people driving, parking, and going into those entrances.
Yeah, the way they defined it with the camera access was you cannot inhibit pedestrian traffic, but you can keep people from parking there 10 feet away and then walking across. Which is a camera.
But Ocean View is going into private gates.
Sure. Well, most of that.
Question I would have, Joe, and I was in council meeting for the last time, so I didn't get to the conclusion with you. Was the decision that we can control parking up on any piece of 421 we wish to,
yes,
or do we have to be consistent along all of 421?
No, we can piecemeal it however we see fit.
Any way we see fit?
Yes.
So long as we have from the police to act, no, as long as we have the stuff for the police department that the county, I mean, the state can act on. Yeah. Tony?
We were discussing in that meeting whether or not to restrict that one area.
Uh-huh.
And you write an ordinance and you restrict the parking down there for the Ocean View people. Then the next group of people up the road say, oh, we would like no parking in front of my
office.
Then we got to write another ordinance and get more signage to put up. So we kind of put it back in your lap to say, what do you want to do?
The state's going to put up the signs.
Yes, they'll put up
the state's going to put up the signs.
The state will put up the signs. Our town would have to.
We have to enforce it. Yeah, when the signs are up.
The decision we have to make is that if one group of citizens wants that, and another group of citizens want that control, I'm not sure that you can tell one yes and one no unless there's some type of zoning restriction or some type of good reasoning and thought process is how we're going to handle all of 421. So I am totally sympathetic to the issue down at Ocean Dunes, and I'm just as sympathetic to the people along the beach who have a lot of parking when we have overflow at the mini hotels, or the rental properties. I think we need to look at this carefully. We can do what we want to do. What we need to do is something smart. And I don't think that's a decision we can make here right away without some thought about it.
Yeah. With that, if council remembers, when the gentleman came to address council about the problem, it was about the problem that tourists were going and parking in Ocean Dunes property. Not on the road, and they're urinating, they're using their shower. That's how